Just get madder and madder, those things. We're into the final half hour, boo-hoo. We've got the lovely Tiff Stevenson still with us, and we're about to talk about smoking. Kevin.
Yes, it's a filthy habit that's notoriously difficult to give up. I know I managed to give up after about 4,000 attempts. But gasp, health campaigners insist that by 2030, Britain will be a cigarette-free country. If we carry on quitting at the current rate, around 1,000 people a day are thought to stub out for the last time, it'll be all over in just over a decade.
Wow.
More than 1 million smokers have given up since 2014, and we're said to be well on our way to total eradication. The UK already has the second lowest smoking rate in Europe, with just 14.9% of adults still lighting up. Only Sweden is faring better on the tobacco front. Around 400,000 choking Brits stopped being fag-ash lils and bills last year. But will it really be only 12 years before no one smokes in this country? Or is this a delusional pie-in-the-sky optimism? What about people who don't want to give up? And just how much does the government truly want a healthier nation, considering it raises a staggering £10 billion in revenue from duty on cigarettes every year?
Let's speak first to Deborah Arnott, if we can. In fact, no, let's go to Simon Clark, actually. He's a director at Forest, which is the campaign group that that fights for the right to smoke. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hello, Matthew.
Do you think smoking's going to be eradicated by 2030?
I think it'd be very, very unlikely. As Kevin was saying there, it's based on current trends, and we've got to understand that trends in recent years have been exacerbated by the fact that e-cigarettes have proved very popular with smokers who wish to quit, as a result of which smoking rates have dropped quite substantially over the last 5 or 6 years. But that trend is very unlikely to keep going, because essentially e-cigarettes have swallowed up what we call low-hanging fruit, people who are looking to quit. And they found it difficult to quit in the past, but e-cigarettes, because they're quite pleasurable to many people, they've given people that incentive to quit. Now, that's not going to continue, because there are still millions of people who smoke because they enjoy it. I mean, it's almost taboo these days to actually talk about the pleasure of smoking.
Is that not because we now understand the pleasure of smoking is in fact the pleasure of relief when you come to having a drug addiction and you feed the monster, you give it the drug, the nicotine, and that the pleasure is, as the later, Alan Carr,
yeah,
as he said, it was akin to wearing a pair of shoes that were too small, and the pleasure comes when you remove the shoes that are too small.
Well, it's difficult to know. I mean, we've commissioned research from a very reputable group called the Centre for Substance Use Research, and they interviewed almost 600 smokers. Now, they weren't, if you like, your average smoker. They were smokers who were fairly confirmed smokers. They're not looking to quit. And 96% of those smokers said they were well aware of the health risks. They even accepted, in many, many cases, that they were addicted to nicotine. But they said, look, despite all the health risks, despite the fact that we know we're addicted, we continue to smoke because we enjoy it. We get a lot of pleasure out of it. And I think the addiction argument is sometimes actually counterproductive, because if you tell somebody they're hopelessly addicted to something, it almost gives them an excuse not to give up. And the reality is, although, as Kevin said, it can be very difficult for some people to quit, people are quitting all the time. So it's certainly not impossible if you really want to.
Are you a smoker yourself, sir?
No, I'm not. I've never actually smoked, apart from the odd cigarette when I was 16 or 17. But I've got involved in this battle, if you like, because I think smokers are treated abominably these days by governments, and indeed by people such as your next guest, Deborah Arnott. The fact of the matter is, people should be allowed to make informed choices, and adults do make informed choices. They're well aware of the health of smoking.
The tobacco industry, I mean, let's be honest, has a checkered, verging on evil past, didn't it? I mean, suppressing information that cigarettes might be, tobacco might be linked, tobacco smoking might be linked to cancer is one of its most famous beguiling claims. And I mean, it's a dirty, dirty industry, and it thrives on death. You know, 100,000 people dying a year, isn't it?
Well, we have to move on from that. And to be fair to the tobacco industry, who I do not represent, and I can't speak for them.
Who funds Forest?
Oh, we are funded mostly by the tobacco company.
Okay, so, so you don't speak for the tobacco industry, Matthew, you just take their money.
Oh, to be fair, Matthew, if you're going to run a consumer organisation, you've got to get your money from somewhere, and it obviously is going to come from the tobacco company. So I don't have any problem with that at all. But now going back to the tobacco companies, let's give them some credit. They are very heavily involved in e-cigarettes and in harm reduction products, and they are trying to find a new path that will help people who wish to quit to give up. I mean, you've actually got a company like Philip Morris who agree with Public Health England in wanting England to be smoke-free by 2030. Now, I don't agree with Philip Morris. I think it's a bit of a kick in the teeth for their consumers who enjoy smoking. But you can't deny the fact that you've got a company there who says, look, our goal is to actually stop manufacturing cigarettes by 2030 when we hope England will be smoke-free.
Simon, it's Kevin again here. What do you think of the government's attitude to smoking? I mean, is it not disingenuous and hypocritical? It keeps going on about, oh, we want everyone to quit, we want people to be healthy, and yet it reaps £10 billion a year from duty on cigarettes. So you suspect that secretly the government doesn't want anyone to give up. It wants this scourge to carry on. Do you think that's the case?
Yes, I mean, you can either describe it as hypocritical or pragmatic. I mean, the reality is that if everybody gave up smoking tomorrow, there would be a massive hole in the economy. £12 billion a year comes in through excise tax and VAT on tobacco. The cost of treating smoking-related diseases is estimated to be $2.7 billion. So you can see the huge difference there between $2.7 billion and the £12 billion that smokers contribute to the economy every year. Okay. So, yes, I think there is a certain amount of hypocrisy.
Simon, 120,000 people die each year in this country from diseases caused by smoking. How do you sleep at night?
Well, very easily, because I believe that the concept of choice and personal responsibility are very important values in this country. We are supposed to live in a free society. As long as people are making an informed choice, and I believe that government has a role to play educating people about the health risks of smoking. I don't believe there's a single adult who isn't well aware of the health risks. I think most teenagers these days, I've had teenage children myself who've had all the anti-smoking information, you know, from an early age. So nobody can be in any doubt that a serious health risk associated with smoking. But if people as adults choose to smoke, that is a matter for them. It's not a matter for government to bully them to give up.
And well, one might argue that a habit that leads to all manner of hideous diseases, lung cancer, emphysema and the like, that actually the view that pleasure is actually only the relief from drug addiction by taking a hit of nicotine. Surely there's an argument here that these are incredibly dangerous products. They shouldn't be on sale. Forest should pack up shop and you should find yourself another job.
Well, you know, that is an argument, but I believe that defending choice and personal responsibility, as say, in a free society, is very important.
Well,
and
Simon, I think you've done a good job of that on the radio today. I congratulate you. Thank you. I was hoping to speak to Deborah Arnott.